Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yeah.
That was the individual giving you the hand and arm signals. We were trying to get your attention, but we've had to use a different phone system this time because we were having trouble with reception on the other phone. So just bear with us. Anyways, good morning.
Morning.
Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Michael Wayne Davis, 65734.
Thank you, sir. You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31412A hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or arrest. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. If you can see on your video conference screen, I'll begin with the opposite side of the bench working toward me. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. And my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. I would like to begin this hearing with the following summary. Mr. Michael Davis, ADC number 065734, is 53 years old. On September 23, 1987, Mr. Davis was found guilty by jury trial and sentenced to death for murder in the first degree. He was also sentenced to 21 years for kidnapping and 21 years for burglary. This crime occurred on or about May 27, 1974. He was approximately 21 years old at the time of the incident offense. He appealed his conviction, and his case was vacated. He was resentenced to 25 years to life for murder in the first degree with a concurrent 7.5-year prison term for burglary, the latter prison term which has since expired. Does this sound correct so far, Mr. Davis?
Yeah.
Thank you. He has a criminal history which includes DUI, providing false information to law enforcement, criminal trespassing, and possession of drug paraphernalia. It should be noted that he was granted home arrest on August 9th, 2012, which was then revoked for alcohol consumption and failure to UA violations. We'll now read a summary of the offense in question. On July 26, 1986, the Tucson Police Department received a request to check on the welfare of the 83-year-old female victim. Her sister had received no response to her telephone call that morning, had arrived at the victim's residence, and noticed the wrought iron bars had been pulled away from the window on the south side of the house. When police officers entered the house, they found the victim lying on the floor of her bedroom, dead. She had been beaten, and a telephone cord was wrapped around her neck. An autopsy subsequently concluded her death was caused by strangulation. Latent fingerprints and footprints obtained from the scene indicated two persons had entered the residence. On September 19, 1986, an individual called 88 Crime and reported defendant Michael Davis was responsible for the victim's death. A comparison of Davis's fingerprints with the latent fingerprints obtained at the scene resulted in a match. On September 30, 1986, Davis was arrested and booked into Pima County Jail. According to Ames, Mr. Davis has received considerable programming in the Arizona Department of Corrections. He has a significant history of discipline in the Department of Corrections from 1990 through 2017, with his last ticket a major on October 19, 2017 for positive or refusal to UA. He has a release plan, which includes living with his aunt and pursuing work as a landscaper. This is his 14th hearing before the board. To the best of my research, I did not find any letters of support or opposition in his parole packet, but I will ask, do we have any supporters for Mr. Davis in the room? Okay. So, Mr. Davis, this is another opportunity for the board to get to know you. Can you tell us in your own words about the crimes that resulted in your incarceration and why you should be considered for supervised release? Thank you, Mr. Davis.
There was nothing in that report about my co-defendant.
Well, this is not your co-defendant's case, sir. This is your parole hearing.
Well, I have my my case overturned for ineffective assistance of counsel?
Yes, sir. It was overturned, and you were no longer sentenced to death, but you were still sentenced to 25 years to life for murder in the first degree with a concurrent 7.5-year prison term. So it may have been overturned in a sense, but you were still found guilty for murder. Do we agree on that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, can you tell us about the crime that led to incarceration and why you think you should be considered for supervised release?
Well, I've been drinking like all day. I'd consumed like a half gallon of tequila. And me and my co-defendant each had drank a half gallon. We went to a ditch that was along the side of the house. And my co-defendant got up and took off. And then I heard him whistling. I went over there, and he said he had killed somebody. I went in, looked at the body, and left. At my second trial, I had expert witnesses. They did the DNA, and all the DNA went back to my co-defendant. They found hair samples on the victim. There was my co-defendant. His bloody fingerprints was my co-defendant. Plus, he had also confessed, said that when he did it, I wasn't there, present when it happened. When I was arrested, they offered me a plea bargain to testify against him, and I refused it. I'm really sorry that it all happened.
Okay, so I recognize that this board already gave an opportunity for home arrest back in 2012, but we are revisiting the case, so are you stating that you're innocent of this crime?
I went in the house and looked at the victim, therefore I committed a burglary, so now, and under felony murder, I was found guilty.
And I know that I was stern when I stated that this is your hearing, but do you know what happened to your co-defendant in the criminal justice system?
I think he's still on death row.
Okay. I appreciate you sharing that information. Again, we stick to your case, but it does put things in context. Thank you. You have had a fairly recent major in the Department of Corrections for positive or refusal to UA back in October 2017. Can you tell us about that incident?
Yeah, I refused.
And was there a particular reason why you refused, sir?
Yeah, I was dirty.
Okay. Again, thank you for being straightforward. Have you been involved with drugs or alcohol inside the Department of Corrections? And I'm not trying to put a case on you. I'm just saying, did you have ongoing issues with drugs and alcohol inside DOC?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So, if I read your last revocation warrant correctly, it looks like you had three violations. Two were failure to UA, but one was for alcohol consumption. So did you continue to use alcohol or have issues with alcohol when you were outside of prison?
No. When I went to go UA on a Thursday, and he thought I was concealing something in my hand, and he searched me, and he found nothing, but he threw me out. He wouldn't let me produce a urine analysis. So Friday, I figured the PO would call. She didn't call, and I figured I was coming back to prison, so I started drinking.
I see.
Probably not the best idea, but...
Well, that is unfortunate. We certainly like to see people succeed when they return to the community. I noticed.
Yeah, at least I pretty much knew that she was going to violate me.
Okay, sir. You have a release plan which includes living with your aunt and for certain work as a landscaper. So, is there any particular reason why your aunt is not here or we don't have a letter from her?
Well, she's really old, so I don't want to bug her with this.
Okay. And were you working as a landscaper before?
I'd gotten a job at the gem and mineral show.
Then what were you doing at the gem and mineral show?
Set up and sales.
Should this board see fit to return you to the community, what are your plans beyond living with an elderly aunt and landscaping?
Well, I wanted to get an AA sponsor so I could stay away from alcohol. I'm pretty confident that on this violation, I've done like almost 6 years. That was pretty harsh. I'm pretty confident I'll be able to stay away from it. But I wanted to start my own business on the landscaping. I'd just get my foot in the door with my cousin. I have two vehicles out there already, two trucks.
And how, and I'm asking this respectfully, how were you able to maintain two vehicles in the community?
Excuse me?
How were you able to purchase two trucks, or are they trucks left over from the past, or why do you have two vehicles?
Why do I have a vehicle?
Yeah, how did you come into possession of them?
I bought two trucks when I got out from the working at the gem and mineral show. Got a driver's license, all that, paid for insurance.
And I did not write in my summary. How long were you on the arrest status before you were revoked?
How long was I out? Five months?
5 months. Okay. Well, that's what Philip Wood was the only question for you. Yes, the only Mr. Johnson.
So I heard you, you mentioned about the alcohol, but in 2017 you tested positive for opiates. Are you doing drugs, opiates? Have you done opiates inside of the prison, sir?
Yeah.
So when was the last time that you did opiates inside the prison?
Ooh, it's been way over a year.
It's been about a year?
Since my last parole hearing, I gave it up, tried something new.
Okay. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further questions before we move? Yes, sir, Mr. Neal.
So you said you gave up opiates and tried something new. What is the something new that you tried?
Sobriety. Try not to get in any tickets. Try not to get in any trouble.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Will. Mr. Davis, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before the board goes into discussion and we vote on your case? Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I just said I'll be 54 this month. And I'm getting too old for this. That's about it.
Well, sir, I don't mean to make light, but I am 54 years old, and I know the sensation of getting too old for things. The board will be going into discussion. It may sound like that we are having a discussion with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under open meeting laws of Arizona. We don't discuss these cases before we walk into the hearing room. So if you'll just remain on the phone.
Would you guys give me the letter I sent you guys?
Yes, I believe that we have.
All right, thank you.
Everything that's been attached to the case file. And a lot of certificates. Just to make sure.
Dated January 20th.
Okay.
We have it.
Okay, again, Mr. Davis, the board will be going into discussion and we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
All right.
The board is now in discussion. For the board members, I do appreciate that Mr. Davis was very direct with this board about his involvement in the case, events that have happened, especially considering that he was temporarily released on home arrest back in 2012. Was revoked and returned to the system. And I think we asked some hard questions to which he gave just very direct and honest answers. So as one individual voting board member, I would have to say that with recent issues with substance abuse inside the Department of Corrections. It is a red flag, but I do believe that he's turning a corner. I like his statement that he's trying something new, which is sobriety, and that's a good attitude, and I hope that it's one that he sticks to, and it's a strong indication that he may be a candidate for supervised release, but right now I am not quite ready to vote that way, and that's where I'll begin the discussion.
Agreed.
We'll go through the discussion from the board, and I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. We'll just give you a moment. We revisit that this case happened in 1987. So, my motion is to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, and home arrest, and I'm asking for a regular set-off.
Second
motion.
Agreed.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Newman, the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, the Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse. Again, we ask for a regular set-off. Release type denied, his regular parole, absolute discharge, and home arrest. And the reasons are as follows. Serious and violent offense, loss of human life, trauma to the victim, age of the victim, serious bodily injury, prior criminal history, poor institutional behavior, a recent disciplinary infraction, which is to say within the last 2 years. He has had a good program. He has a release bond. We did not have any family or community support. And are there any other issues that my colleagues wish to add? Okay, Mr. Davis, the board has unanimously denied regular parole option discharge or home arrest, but you will be certified to return again before this board in 1 year. Again, I'm sincere when I say that I like hearing that in this last year it seems that you've turned a corner on the substance abuse and that you wish to seek treatment. I don't know if this is the sort of programming that you like, but we do encourage you to pursue AA or NA if it's available to you in your yard. And we look forward to seeing you again. In the meantime, please stay safe, and thank you for appearing before this board today, sir. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.